This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, It Will Stand, Leader's Guide, In-Home Bible Study for Teens. And the authors are Mary Love Eister and Weedy Vickery. Hello, Mary Love.
Hello, how are you today, Steve?
Hi, Weedy.
Hi, Steve.
Great to have you with us. This book is much needed. Obviously, God's commandments do solve problems if people will just follow them. It's very simple, but it seems to be very difficult for many to even begin to learn about God's commandments, and that's what your book is all about, trying to teach us, especially for teens. Let me read what you have written about your book. It Will Stand is a new approach to teenage Bible studies that focus on the root literature of Christianity, the Bible. Many teens know parts of the Bible, but do not realize that it tells one story from cover to cover. The second half of the book shows today's teen how to apply biblical truths to everyday living. Well, Mary Love, let's start with you. How did this all come about?
When my oldest granddaughter was in the fifth grade, she asked me if I would have a Bible study for her and some of her friends. You know, her grandmother said, "Oh, honey, yes, indeed I will." Well, that started the Bible study. 2 years later, the second granddaughter came along, and Weedy and I had a Bible study for her. When the next granddaughter came along, 2 years after that, she said, "I'm ready for my Bible study. I'm in the fifth grade." And we said, "Honey, we just don't believe we can do three Bible studies." She put her hands on her hips and stared at us and said, "I've been waiting all this time for my Bible study, and we're going to have one." So Weedy taught one, and I taught two, and we taught them all the way through through high school, through the 12th grade. And we struggled. I just sort of struggled for material. I kind of tried to pick up on what they were interested in. But I never had a real good curriculum. I wished I had had some material. It would have made it much easier for me to teach.
So, Weedy, how did you come up with the topics of, you know, there's obviously so much in the Bible, but how did you decide on what was going to be in your book?
Well, from teaching several years, we had been able to find topics on peer pressure and dating and things like that pretty easily, but I wanted the girls to have a background on what the Bible is all about, where it came from, how it was written, how were the scriptures preserved. So the book is actually divided into two separate parts. And one is deals with kind of the history of the Bible, and then the second half is how application, how it applies with the peer pressure, the dating, etc.
The Old Testament can be rather formidable to many, especially even adults, to make it, to make it so it really applies to teenage lives. How did you do that?
Well, I guess I just wanted them to realize that the Bible really is a continuous story from beginning to end. And we gave a brief history of Israel and their obedience and disobedience to God, and related that to people of today. We also talked about God's use of his prophets and the desire for the kings to honor him. And, there's so many parallels in today's society that go along with that, that it was easy to get examples.
And also in the Old Testament, there are a number of characters, Moses and David and Noah, and all the different characters, and they embody some of biblical principles, so as to see how they work out in a life. They're good examples for these young people.
Well, when you make them into real people and not just some they lived so long ago, how do we relate to them? But they had the same issues and problems and challenges, even though they lived at a different time. It sounds like you've made that, brought them to life.
Well,
Well, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to show that, you know, that those people were actual people in history and that God's Word is still alive today.
The people face many of the same issues that they faced and need to make the same kinds of decisions that they
made. Right. So part one, the Bible, what it's all about, you have 8 lessons. You have a synopsis of the Bible from Genesis through Exodus, and then Leviticus through Kings, and First Chronicles through the Song of Solomon, and you have the prophecy books through the New Testament. How do we really know, and you address that, how do we know that the Bible is really God's Word?
Well, the way it was put together, for one thing, and how carefully it was preserved. But the Bible tells one story from beginning to end. There are 40-some-odd authors. It was written over a period of about 1,500 years, and yet it tells one story from Genesis through Revelation.
And, of course, your lesson 8 focuses on Jesus, the centerpiece of the words. Make a few comments, Weedy, about that.
Okay, that lesson starts off, we started off with, suppose a man were to walk in here right now and claim to be God, and what proof would he need? And then we go ahead and talk about when God sent Jesus into the world, he knew people would be skeptical. But we talk about that he sent him on to be our Savior.
It's amazing the prophecies that he fulfilled. There are many prophecies, and the fulfilled prophecy has a great deal to do with the relevance of the Bible. Those prophecies would not have been fulfilled by chance.
Right. Well, that's a very good point. So part two, the Bible, what does it mean to me? Now, that takes it right down to the personal level.
That's correct. We wanted to take things that we had learned from the Bible, and it's real neat. Each girl that we've taught, they can even see differences in their own family lives when Scripture's being applied, not only to themselves, but also in the lives of their families.
I love some of these titles of these different lessons, My Personal Journey of Faith, Early Examples of Faith, Lord, I Want You to Know More, Armor of God, Do I Have My Helmet On? So that, what is the helmet? What does that signify?
The helmet of salvation.
That's the armor of God, that lesson. And lesson 11 is, Lord, I Want to Know You More, but that's okay. The armor of God, yes, that talks about the different pieces of armor that we're to put on as believers.
And that's so important for young people because obviously there's an attack on the family and young people coming from all different technological sources and peers and movies and music. I mean, the list goes on and on. The teenagers today, young people, are just under attack, aren't they?
That's true. That is true. So many more ways, even more readily available ways.
They have things to deal with that we have that we didn't have to deal with since we grew up. I remember a minister named Ron Dunn saying, I never said I was your age to my teenagers because I was never confronted with the things that they were confronted with at their age. It's a whole new world. Somebody said in the school system, the big deal was chewing gum and throwing spit wads and that sort of thing as we grew up, foot noise in the hall, and now it's guns and knives, and kids are really at risk for their lives in school. It's a totally different time of a totally different way of living.
What do you...
When I grew up, the church, the schools, and the home, all three gave the same messages, and it's not that way anymore.
Right. What do you mean in your lesson 14, empty me so I can be filled with you? How do you empty? How do we empty ourselves, or how does God empty us?
Well, in that lesson, we use the Philippians 2 scripture, and it says that we are to do nothing out of selfish ambition. And we empty ourselves of sin. We empty ourselves of our own selfish desires and try to put on the characteristics of Christ.
Very well put. And I love this one. Pretty is as pretty does. Make a comment on that.
That's one of my, well, actually my grandmother saying that she used to tell my mother, and pretty is as pretty does. That's we're as pretty as we act, and also what's on the inside. And that lesson, the scripture was Proverbs 11:22, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. And we talk about being a lady and a woman worthy of praise. I asked the girls who they would consider as role models in today's time. And we talk about the Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And that's so true.
And, you know, God looks at the heart, not on the outside. And I think that's the emphasis of that lesson, that the heart should be pretty, that that's what God is the most interested in.
You have a lesson on dating, a lesson on prayer, a lesson on forgiveness. Confident living. Now, what do you mean by that?
Oh, let's see. Okay, that was inspired by a sermon that my pastor had given, and it really was on fear and not being afraid. We use the 2 Timothy 1:7 verse, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And we talk about what are most people afraid of, and that was kind of fun, having everybody come up with their list, and just how to overcome some fears in our life, because we're all experience fearful things and situations from time to time.
And then, Mary Love, the very last lesson is titled Heaven.
Yes, and that's our home, our eternal home. You know, if we were gonna move to a new city, we'd want to know all about it. And I think we would maybe take the newspaper from the city. We'd talk about people who live there, had been there. We'd be very interested in what it was like. And so, I was really surprised. This was one of the most sought-after topics with my young people as I taught them. They were more interested in knowing what heaven was like than almost anything else I taught them. And I was surprised, as young as they were. But they were fascinated to know about it. And, of course, as we get older and as we draw nearer to the eternal home, then I think we're that much more interested in knowing what it's like. Of course, the Bible tells us a great deal about it. It gives us a lot of hope to know ahead, to know that we do have a home in heaven and that God has prepared a beautiful place for us to live forever. Sometimes you hold on to that hope when times get tough in this old world.
Give us some suggestions of starting up a group where we could use your book. What's a good process on this?
Well, what we did, the first group that I taught besides my children was I had a friend that asked me if I would take her daughter's group. And then this cute little girl, she just got the group up. And I think the teenagers like to get their own group up because, you know, they want to be with their friends. So I would just ask, really God leads you to people, and I would just ask, you know, are y'all interested in a Bible study? Why don't you get a group up? And they do. Believe me, they do. One of the neat things about the Bible study that Whitney teaches is that her husband, Mike, cooks the breakfast for the girls. Love it. I think just to have that daddy interest makes a big difference.
And, of course, as you put it, your husband, Mike, thinks they come for his good breakfast, but they come for more than that.
That's right. Well, they're right, Keith. They give him orders of what they want. So, it just amazes me that they'll come at 6:30 in the morning.
That is tremendous. 6:30 a.m. Fantastic.
They do. They come. And it's not for my teaching, I can assure you. It's God's word. It's just so alive and still touching hearts.
Well, they can feel it, right?
We hear from these little girls who have grown up and are married and have children of their own about how much what they have learned in the Bible study means to them still.
Well, it really means a lot to them because they can feel it. They can feel the spirit, I'm sure, of the Word of God and of your love for having done this. And so many can benefit from this. The title of the book, It Will Stand, Leader's Guide.
That's correct. And Steve, there's also a student's book that goes along with it.
Well, ladies, tell us how to get your book.
Well, right now, our Lifeway store here locally is carrying it, and I think it's made available through Lifeway through orders. Also, Amazon, BooksAMillion.com, or you can get it directly from Westbow Press.
Well, we want to thank you for being on Indie Book Publishing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your interest.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski. A live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Journaling with Jesus, How to Draw Closer to God. And the author is Carol Round, and Carol joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Carol.
Hello, how are you doing today?
This is a very unique idea. As you say, it has come from God, and you felt very impressed to write your book. Let me read what you've written just to set the stage for our discussion. You asked this question: can you imagine what it would be like to have a one-on-one conversation with your Savior? While we can't physically do that today, we can have a more intimate relationship with God through prayer, journaling. Although my book is only 68 pages, its pages are filled with balanced scriptural support, practical guidance, shared stories, encouragement, and inspiration for readers. And you also talk about a very special, unique aspect of your book, a chapter titled My Covenant with God. We'll talk about that in a little later. But how did this all start? Carol, what led you, what was the genesis of this?
Well, approximately 11 years ago, my marriage was ending, and I had been seeing a counselor, and she was one that actually suggested that I start a prayer journal, and I've always loved to write, and so I just started pouring out my heart to God in my journal about all the pain I was experiencing. And I have just, I've been doing it for that long, for, you know, over 10 years. It's just a part of my morning with the Lord. I have my sacred place, which is my sunroom, and I have my all my, I guess you would say, tools out there, my Bible, my journal, my daily devotional that I use, and my routine in the morning is to fix me a mug of hot tea, no matter what the weather's like, and to head out onto my, into my sacred spot, which is my sunroom, and to start my day with Him.
You mentioned that you have written for some time. In fact, you have a number of columns in different newspapers. 12 Oklahoma newspapers carry your column.
Yes, sir. I retired from teaching in May of 2005, and God led me to another community where I could count on one hand the number of people I knew. At the time, I didn't understand why He wanted me here, but now I do, because I wouldn't be using my writing for His glory. And I started writing a weekly column, which is around 500 words plus per week, called A Matter of Faith. And 12 Oklahoma newspapers since then have picked it up. Other newspapers had carried it, but with the economy and lack of space and advertising, you know, I lost some newspapers. But I eventually compiled two books. A Texas publisher actually picked up my columns and published them in book form. Actually came up with the idea when people were telling me that they were tearing out my columns and keeping them or sharing them with others, and dawned on me one day when I was out mowing the lawn, you have a book.
Very good. Yes. Now, a prayer journal, kind of help us understand how do we do this? You know, how do we begin keeping a prayer journal?
Well, if we look at it as a love letter to God, and that's basically what my entries are, I always tell people they need to date, put the date at the top of the page, the first thing, because it's so neat to go back and look at your past journals. I do that, oh, maybe two, three, or four times a year, and see, you know, prayers that you, things you prayed about, some of those prayers were answered, and thank God some were not. And you've forgotten that you talked to God about those things. Or you can see your own spiritual growth. And that, for me, that is one of the neatest things. Because when I started, you know, I think my prayer journals were more about me, me, me. And now they're more about Him and praising Him for all the blessings in my life. And it's just neat to see my own spiritual growth and my relationship with Him and how it has grown. And, you know, you can just use any, get you a spiral notebook or a three-ring binder, or I like the special bound books that you can buy at a Christian bookstore that have scripture or religious quotes in them. And, you know, just start. I started out addressing mine to Dear God, but now I feel like, you know, I'm so close to Him, I start out now, Dear Abba Father. And whatever's on my heart that day, whatever I want to communicate with Him about, I just start writing. And like I said, my day is not complete if I don't give Him the first fruits of my day.
I mentioned at the beginning a unique aspect of journaling with Jesus is a chapter titled My Covenant with God. Explain that chapter.
Well, 40 days is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. And I wanted to encourage my readers, because I've heard people say, well, I tried prayer journaling, but I could not keep it up. I couldn't continue to do it. And I thought, okay, 40 days, I'm going to offer my readers a 40-day challenge to try this for 40 days, and that it will lead to a habit. And so I thought, why not have them sign a covenant with God to do this for 40 days? And the covenant in the back of the book, actually, you know, the reader is actually speaking to the Lord. It starts out, Dear Abba Father, I thirst and hunger for more of You. Your son said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I cannot live by bread alone. It does not satisfy. Instead, Father, I seek your face. Anyway, then it goes on for probably five or six more paragraphs. And at the end, the reader agrees, by your grace, Father, I agree to spend the next 40 days focused on learning more about you through my prayer journal. I pray that your word will not return empty, but will accomplish what you desire and achieve your purposes in my life. And then the reader signs and dates it.
We live in a very hurting, angry world, as you write, constantly bombarded with media messages of crime and other negative news, you know, unemployment, rising gas and grocery prices, and many lose hope. So how is this writing therapeutic? You know, you talk about pouring out our pain.
Well, I think we need to quit focusing on our problems and problems in the world that we have no control over, and realize that our God is bigger than any problem in this world. I majored in journalism, taught journalism for years in high school, and although I still, you know, skim newspaper headlines, I don't let those things bother me because I realize I have no control, so why worry about things I have no control over? And just turning the, you know, writing your prayer journal teaches or has taught me to trust him more, that he is my provider, my help, my rock. And, you know, it's just drawing me closer to him. And just, I'm always amazed when he answers prayers, and I don't want to ever stop being amazed at when he answers my prayers, because then I'm taking him for granted.
Some may say, I'm just too busy.
Well, it's about priorities. And, you know, if you have to get up a little bit earlier each morning, you know, you don't have to set the clock and, I mean, say I'm going to do this for 30 minutes or an hour, because, you know, God doesn't have a wristwatch. He just wants some of our time. He wants to spend time with us. He wants a relationship with us. So, you know, if it means getting up earlier in the day to do that, then, you know, it's about priorities. It's about giving him the first fruits of your day. And I can guarantee that when you give him the first fruits of your day, the rest of your day, while you're still going to face problems, things are going to go much smoother since you've given him your first fruits.
You talk about this book is filled with scriptural support, practical guidance, shared stories. Now, what are the shared stories?
Well, I didn't want just to include my experiences in the book, and so I put the word out to friends. You know, do you know someone who keeps a prayer journal or a spiritual journal? I use the word interchangeably. And I interviewed probably about 25 women who shared their experiences with prayer journaling, some who had been through divorce, who had been through spousal abuse or child abuse, drugs, alcohol, abortion, and how their prayer journals helped them with healing in their lives. And I also interviewed another author, Lynn Morrissey, who has written Love Letters to God, Deeper Intimacy with Through Written Prayer. And I interviewed her also. I made connections with her through a mutual friend. I also interviewed a man, and because many times people, you know, equate journal with diary, and they think woman, and, you know, female. And so I had met a former pastor back in 2009 who had written a book on prayer journaling called The Journey, and I also interviewed him for my book because he does have a unique way of keeping a prayer journal.
And God loves to hear our thankfulness, our praise. We need to show gratitude.
Yes, we do. And as I said earlier, when I go back and look at my earlier entries, you know, 10, 11 years ago, I was still pretty selfish. And, you know, most of the time when I look outside my sunroom in the morning, and I don't care whether it's the grays and browns of winter when a lot of people get depressed, you know, with seasonal affective disorder, or, you know, it's storming or there's snow on the ground or whatever, you can find something to be grateful for. And, you know, I think too many times we want to complain and forget about our blessings, forget what God has already blessed us with. And we are a blessed nation, whether we realize it or not.
What about the person who says, I'm not a writer?
You don't have to be a writer. You know, I used to be an English teacher, and I can remember, you know, whipping out that red pen to make marks on a student's paper. But, you know, that God's not going to whip out his red pen and start making marks on your paper. He doesn't care if you have a run-on sentence, a fragment, a misspelled word. It doesn't matter because he knows your heart.
So the whole goal, this art of prayer journaling, is just to have this authentic, intimate relationship with God.
Yes, yes. And I think putting it down on paper really frees you to be more authentic with him. It's like when you put that pen to paper and you start writing, you know, it just flows. And of course, I'm a writer, but I know people who are not and who started, you know, keeping a prayer journal and have, you know, commented on how it has changed their relationship, not only with God, but with other people in their lives. Because when we get our relationship right with the Lord, then the rest of our relationships fall into place.
And the best.
And I think that's the reason that I have been able to, you know, let go of my bitterness and forgive my ex, and we're actually on good terms now.
And the key is just to be honest.
Yes, just to be honest.
Well, there's a lot of information here. Even though it's a short book, it does lead the reader through the steps. There's tips on how to get started. You know, there's you're in some way, you're guiding them to learn how to do this.
Yes, yes, because too many people say, well, I don't know how to do this, or, you know, how do I get started? And I think maybe they're afraid of the blank page. And, you know, I even offer there, you know, what if you one morning you wake up and you sit down to write and you don't know what to write? And, you know, read a devotion, read scripture. One of my favorite devotionals that I just started using is a book called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. And she actually was a missionary and a journaler, and she turned her book of devotions, Jesus Calling, actually came about from her prayer journaling. And it's like Jesus is talking directly to you. You feel like he's sitting right there across the room from you. So I actually read Jesus Calling, you know, and sometimes scripture before I even, you know, start my prayer journaling.
And this spiritual journey through prayer journaling will help us to learn to forgive?
Oh, yes. When you start putting down all your pain on paper and asking God to help you, you know, forgive, to see the situation through his eyes. And, you know, if you can't forgive someone else for what they've done to you, how is God going to forgive you? And also, when you're, you know, beating yourself up, you know, over something that happened in your life, you know, and you can't forgive yourself. You know, I have come a long way in the last 10 years. God has done an extreme makeover on me from the inside out. And I don't think where I would be where I'm at in my walk with the Lord if I had not taken up prayer journaling and continued to make it a spiritual discipline, and that's what it is. It's a spiritual discipline.
We've been listening to author Carol Round, her book titled Journaling with Jesus, How to Draw Closer to God. Carol, tell us how to get your book.
Well, they can go to www.journalingwithjesus.com. That's all small letters. They can order it at Amazon or barnesandnoble.com.
Thank you for being with us, Carol.
Thank you very much. You have a blessed day.
And this interview on Indie Book Publishing has been brought to you by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show, every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles, and then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen and listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole O'Dell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Freedom from Within, A Gift of Love. And the author is Teresa Alexander, and Teresa joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Teresa.
Good morning, Steve, and good morning, TogiNet Radio listeners. I believe there's millions of you around the world.
Well, we're glad to have you with us all the way from Australia. And this book, Freedom from Within, A Gift of Love, is certainly, you feel very strongly, it is your gift of love to all those who need greater awareness, self-awareness. Well, let's start with how this all came about. Give us your story of your out-of-body experience.
It started, Steve, in 1984. I had a big operation. I wasn't under the anesthetic. 3 days after the operation, my soul left my body. I saw my body lying on the bed. I was aware of a lot of other things. My mother and grandmother had already passed, and they were there. And I said, I'm not going back, and this is all done through thought form. And they said, you've got to go back. And this discussion went on for a while until one of them said, well, if you're not going back, one of us will have your body. And I must have immediately thought, no, you're not. And with me thinking, no, you ever felt a jolt as you wake up? This is your soul coming back from the soul travel. And I was back in my body. And I knew that we don't die. We pass on to another dimension. Having experienced that, I thought, right, I've got to find out what life's about. And I started writing in 1990, and Freedom from Within is the result of looking at life to open up your heart.
I think everyone can identify with these words from you. You say, when we are born, we are free. Somewhere, however, the joy is lost. And somewhere along the way, we allow our souls to slip into bondage. So your whole goal and mission is to help people to get out of that bondage and back to freedom.
Correct, Steve. It's to get them to ask the question, to start to follow their heart, because at some time we all ask the reason for life. What is the quest? We call it the Golden Grail, and there's a chapter on that. And the secret is to live from your heart, and live from action from the heart and not from reaction. Most people spend their life cleaning up from their reactions when life should be full of joy and hope and trust.
You call it your heart path.
There's only one path for me, and that's the path of the heart. And most people, I'm a professional counsellor, when they come to me, say, well, I don't know how I know it's my heart. Do we want the answer to that?
Well, we need to be true to self, and that is so important. Why is that so important?
It's so important because we can spend our lives trying to fit in with other people, looking for agreement. But if you're not meeting the needs of your soul within you, at your heart, your inner self, you're making a divide. And that's where you're going away from being true to self. And eventually you simply think, I'm not very happy. That's because the inner love isn't there, the inner love for yourself. And you do need to put yourself first to build the love within you and recognize it, because we already have this love. And freedom from within will help you to learn to be still and reclaim the whole self and the love that's already in your heart.
Your book is filled with energetic poems and prose. How did these come about? I mean, how what motivates you? What inspires you to write this?
Steve, I'm a natural clairvoyant. We've all got the gift within us. We need to learn to be still. And in that stillness, recognize that the thought that comes into our mind when it's total love is the gift of the messenger for us on living from our heart. Do you want a short poem?
Please, please.
This one's called Be Still. Let the silence enter that little chamber filled with love and light, that in the space one may see and be given more insight. A heart of joy is filled with gold, courage and strength for a firm foothold. So remember the peace from within when you were still.
Very good. Very good. Now, your book is set up, is you've created this book in a specific way where you have some meditation poems before each chapter?
That is right. They actually consolidate what's in the chapter, so you'll never feel alone again once you've learned to be still and open your heart. And the two books, as you say, they come together and they give you that full support for you to find your own wholeness and be true to self. It brings you back to trusting, caring, your compassion, and allowing yourself the vulnerability to trust in life, honesty, and faith.
Help us to understand when you say we create time by thoughts of desire or expectation.
Ever noticed when you're going out doing something and you'll really love it, you suddenly think, gosh, that went fast. You're not watching your watch or the time. But when you're not enjoying from the heart, you're suddenly very aware of the time and thinking, I've got a big hill to climb. And if I'm going to climb a mountain, I don't want a pack on my back saying, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I want to take all those things out. And when I'm going with love, time doesn't exist because I'm just doing it, and all things become possible.
One of the themes in your book deals with suicide. Why is that?
The reason I touched on a short bit of the suicide, my sister suicided in another country in New Zealand where I was born. I live in Australia now. But I've been amongst people that have thought of suicide. And at the end of the day, it all comes back to the message, I don't feel love, I have no purpose in life, and I cannot do it. I'm going to end it, and that'll stop these thoughts. The secret for suicide is to get a person to look and see that they are loved, and that by sending out a different thought, because thought is what you create. I have written in my book that God is thought. In the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. What we think, we're in God's image. Everything that we think is what we choose to create. So when a person's thinking suicide, they are thinking total negativity. And in my book, I simply say, consider that if you thought that your soul passes away but doesn't die, and you have to come back and face that task again, so don't do it. Deal with it now. And that's what life is about, isn't it? It's great. I've done this. So keep on doing it and look for the positive things. So in the suicide one, it just simply reminds you to consider that if death is not the end, think about changing your mind about that, because love's there, you've just got to claim it. It's already there.
And there are people who things don't work out exactly the way they want them, or the unexpected happens, or even tragedy may strike, and they often blame God.
This is a very interesting statement, because we are made in God's image, and everything that thought comes creates, and what we think is what we're creating. So when we look at what's happening in the world, there's no one to blame except the energy that we're sending out, the thought forms. And by changing the thought forms back to total love, things can be and will be turned around.
Well, there's a lot of questions about life that your book answers, and it's all up, I guess it's personal responsibility, isn't it? We have to learn that it's our responsibility. God will help us, but we have to choose.
Spot on, Steve. We've been given free will. Every day when we wake up, if we can look in the mirror and say, hey, I love you, you're a bit of all right, aren't you? Because that's the body and the soul that's going to walk with you today. So enjoy the journey, enjoy yourself. And yes, we are responsible for what comes into our life.
Why don't you share another poem with us?
Sweet song. The seeds have been sown with care and love, that they will multiply throughout the years with love. Peace comes through giving without thought of return, increasing with experience as we live and learn. The world is for learning that we may be free, the purpose for being here throughout eternity. There is no end as the energy goes on when we serve from the heart with love, our own sweet song. Thank you, Steve.
That was good. You really answer the question, why the journey, why life?
The whole book of Freedom from Within will keep reminding you to be still. And if one message comes from Freedom from Within, and that is to learn to observe yourself. And as you observe the thought coming into your mind, whether you're listening to someone else thinking, oh, they think they know everything, or you wait till you hear what I've got to say to them. If you're aware of what's coming into your mind and it's not total love, then you have the opportunity to change it. And that's what life's about, being aware of your thoughts, to put your own house in order so that you think only total love. Because that's then what you're going to create in the world. And the world's vibrations will lift accordingly.
You have had quite an outpouring of requests to have you speak to groups of in different parts of the world already. Why do you think you're receiving such a wide appeal like you're experiencing?
A lot of people say, why have you done the book now when you wrote it 10 years ago? The world is ready for this book now, because at no other time have people had such lack of self-worth, self-esteem, and self-worth. Now, to be true to yourself, Freedom from Within is coming at the right time, because it has the message to bring people back to living from the heart, from action from the heart, and not from reaction, and to let go of their thoughts of lack. Because most people do not understand what the commandment, thou shalt not kill, actually means. It actually means, Steve, if you say to me, I'm going to climb that hill, and I say, well, I don't know if that's a good idea, you've just had the operation, I'm trying to kill your dream. And when people become aware that everything they utter or think creates something positive or negative for themselves or the other person, they have the choice to change it, and through this awareness come back to sending love out into the world. And that's why I believe freedom from within is the right message, because it was given to me. It's a completely channeled book.
Well, it's over 300 pages long. You have how many poems and other kinds of prose, ideas, teachings?
It's a book that people can go to wherever they want to be, whether it's sitting on the beach, leaning against a tree, or just comfortably in their home, and open to a chapter, because you don't read it quickly through. It is a working book. And once you've learned to be still and receive the message from your heart, you'll never feel alone again.
You've mentioned that phrase, be still, a number of times. When you say that, you literally mean make sure we're listening to an inner voice or some kind of feelings, ideas that come from God?
It is, yes, the inner voice. The inner voice is always there. I've had some incredible experiences in my life when my own life has been at risk. There was one morning at 4 a.m. in the morning, and I came around the corner in New Zealand, and there was a dead cow across the whole of the road, and I knew my little car couldn't miss it. And I got the message, get your feet off the pedals. And I lifted my feet off the pedals, went over part of the animal. The car was flung off the road, hit a fence, rebounded back on the road, stopped, and believe it or not, I was able to drive away from there. If I had not been told with the message, get your foot off the pedals, with the jerk of the car, I probably would have hit the accelerator by mistake. So my life was saved.
We've been listening to Teresa Alexander. She is the author of her book, Freedom from Within, A Gift of Love. Teresa, tell us how to get your book.
You can buy it from your preferred online retailer, but you can certainly get it from Balboa Press. You can also get it from Baker & Taylor, Ingram's Books, and Amazon.com, anywhere where you normally buy your books online. I'd be happy to supply.
Teresa, thanks.
God bless you all.
And Teresa, thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Steve, it's my pleasure. Have a great evening, because the sun is coming up here.
Yes, we're a world away from each other, but you've got a great message, Teresa. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Bye for now.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.